Good evening, all. This is Tom and Jacqueline.
Hey, everybody.
That was Jacqueline. I'm Tom. give me a confirmation. Okay, thank you. I see that we're heard. just before we were about to come on the air, Jacqueline surprised me with, we have to start with a prayer, and I'll be the one coming up with this little prayer. And there is the recognition that there is no, sometimes it feels like there's awkwardness. Sometimes it feels like separation clearly. Feels like I'm talking to other people. Feels like concerned about the thoughts or opinions of what others think, and that is all just an obstacle to the awareness of love's presence. And to the degree that the willingness will permit, that my willingness would be maximized to let go of all those obstacles and just be free within all of us. Amen.
Amen.
We finished up last week. We were in chapter 12, page 26. We'll start with verse 7.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, and so at the beginning of Matthew chapter 12, we were beginning to see the contrast between listening to our thinking mind, listening to the mind of the personal self, or listening to the thoughts of inner wisdom, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And so that's what those first couple of verses we're talking about. So, all right, I'm done.
Right. Okay, so we will continue with the reading, starting in verse 7. Excuse me. listen to me. I offer you the truth.
They can't hear me. Okay. They just said they can't hear me. Oh. Okay, I'll get close to the mic. Thanks.
Share my words and know that they are yours also. For there is only one truth, and the truth belongs to all. Through his words, Jesus demonstrated that separateness cannot stand. Through his actions, he demonstrated his words. What is one cannot be separate and live. This is why death has come upon your world. But the good news is that separateness is but illusion, and so death is illusion too. Listen to me. The Spirit of God is one. This is the truth I would have you learn.
What
comes through there is, through his words, Jesus demonstrated that separateness cannot stand. Through his actions, he demonstrated his words. And that's what I think is called consistency, integrity. And to reach that state where it's consistently applied in that manner is wonderful, and it takes commitment and it takes practice, and a lot of times I've been on the path for a while and reading and finding myself doing opposite what a book would tell me in certain times, and again it's to realize that is conditioning, that when my actions do not reflect what my words are, a lot of time it's just the conditioning running its course. And it's got to empty out of the vessel. The worst thing I can do is condemn myself for being inconsistent or for whatever I think I'm being at the time. I just want to say that anytime I'm condemning myself, then I'm right in the wheelhouse of the I thought.
Yeah, and I'm just noticing that Larry said that's what they were just sharing on. We were just sharing on with Bentinho's quote about, you know, only the personal self acts from its preferences, and that the can't remember the exact quote, can't see the board, but that. If you're acting from consciousness, you're acting in the best interest of all. So this is right on point with that. As it says here, the good news is that separateness is but an illusion. And so the key to letting go of personal preferences is to recognize that the personal self is the illusion, and to shift your perspective so that you can begin to live from the self that's conscious of its oneness, from the one true self.
Oh, thank you, honey. And also, you know, though, I'm just looking at the last sentence there, verse 5, it says, but the good news is that separateness is but illusion. And so death is illusion, too. And it's funny because I'm always very clear that if I got a choice between the two, separateness and death, I'll take separateness, it's been coming much more clear to me now that death is not what it looked, what I had thought it was. So I'm not so sure about that choice anymore. But anyway, I'm going to continue with verse 9. The destruction of God is the separating of him from himself. But God cannot be separated, or he would not be himself. Who could separate him? Therefore, there has been no sin. There has only been the illusion of sin. This is the truth I would have you learn. It is not bodies that are one. Do not let thoughts of confusion confuse you. Bodies are temporal and will not last. Yet you are eternal, so you must be one.
Yeah, and it's pointing to the obvious mistake here. The mistake is the belief that we live in these bodies, that I stop at the end of my fingertips and you start at the end of yours. And it's just pointing that out. It's like that's the illusion. And we know that's an illusion because we are the stuff that is called God, and God cannot be separate. God encompasses everything that is. So God encompasses me. God encompasses you, and me and you are not separate because God cannot be separate. I've always said that the thinking mind, the personal self, can't understand this idea of oneness. You know, you say oneness to the personal self or the thinking mind, and all it can do is think of people, you know, everybody standing together really close, together in one room or something. It just cannot get to that, to the idea of oneness, that, you know, it can't live without the personal mind, the personal self, the thinking mind cannot live without the demarcation between I and thou. And this is what this is talking about. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe that you're a person stuck in that body? You are God, and God is one.
Yeah, thank you. I was watching the Mets last night. I'm a Met fan. And I was just really watching how the I Thought identified with this team and how identified it is with this team that plays in New York, and I'm from New York, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I was watching, you know, it's evident in every city or whoever's got a team or whoever's got an attachment to anything. How intensely loyal and identified with this something can become, and it's really just amazing because in the in intellectual circles, you can pick it apart and say that's ridiculous, it's so silly, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you just get so totally identified with it that it, you know, it's just mind-boggling, and I was just realizing how I had to constantly be on to pay attention that I was watching what the I Thought was going through. What was the process? What was the functioning? What was the mechanism that was in action right there? What was the attachment? What is that energy? And it's really just an energy. It's like a gravity field. It's like two magnets pulling towards each other. And you know, so it's so just then the realization comes that how can there possibly be happiness in something like that? How can, even if they win, it's just a matter of time before they're going to lose, and there's going to be that crescendo, you know, cascading from the rafters down into the bleachers, you know, and so there is no happiness, you know. I can just see that there, in anything in this of this world, anything that's temporary, there can be no happiness unless it is looked upon with pure eyes, and pure eyes are eternal eyes, and so to look on this world with the eyes of the temporal being is to just set myself in suffering. And the Mets were helpful with that, so I want to thank them.
Well, they're good for something.
Okay, so we're going to start.
We're down at verses 30-32, line number 5.
Okay. It is the spirit that tells us who we are. It is the spirit that knows our truth. Let go of what your eyes tell you, for surely your eyes will not last forever. What do they know of eternity? Listen to spirit, for the eternal knows what eternity is. Your own thoughts condemn you.
Let me say sure. that last thing. You know, it's interesting because we look out at the world that that we've created, and we go, see, look, there's proof. There's proof that we are not that we're separate, that we're not one, that we're all separate beings. And we forget that with this tiny man idea, with this idea that we wanted to explore what it felt like to not be one, which is the illusion, right? We forget that we created these bodies, these devices for having that experience. We created these pieces of clay with these little meatballs in our heads, right? And then we go, see, here's proof. But they're only proof that we wanted to have this experience, and that's so if we're looking to that and going, yeah, there's proof, you know, the way that guy's treating me is proof, the way that, you know, the politics are all screwed up is proof, I mean, whatever it is, we want to point out in the world and go, see, there's proof, we are separate. But you forget that's the proof that we put out there so that we could have the experience. And so this is saying, you know, okay, enough. Quit listening to that. Listen to spirit. Listen to who you really are. Spirit will tell you of eternity.
Excellent. Yeah. Set ourselves up as an effect instead of cause, yeah. Right? Being an effect is a real bummer, really, you know.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, you're at the mercy of the world, you know. You're just an effect of whatever the world happens to want to do to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, we're going to start with 33, verse 33. Your own thoughts condemn you, and your own thoughts condemn your world.
Yeah.
As long as you believe and love your thoughts, you and your world are condemned, for there is no escaping the thoughts you choose to keep. I look at that and it says, as long as you believe and love your thoughts. To me, that love just means identify with. Why would you identify with something that you hate? Now, with the I thought, there is a love-hate relationship. Sometimes it's hated and sometimes it's loved. That's not love. That's not the truth of love. So I see as love your thoughts. It's identifying with your thoughts.
Line 33 through 37.
But let all thoughts of condemnation go, and you shall be given a new world and new thoughts. And it is through this world and these thoughts that you shall come to know yourself.
Right. So we've set this thing up to prove to us that we're separate. And we do that with this loop of perception. And of course, NTI talks about this later, and I know that you all are familiar with that and have heard Regina talk about it time and again, and heard me talk about it, quoting Regina time and again. But it's this perceptual loop. So the way that Regina explains it is what I think I see, what I see I experience, and what I experience I think. And so what it is we do project based on, we project the world that we see based on the beliefs that we have. And so as long as we are certain that we are right about who we are and right about the world that we live in, right? So we set up these expectations about what we expect to see, how we expect things to turn out for us. Oh, you know, that'll never happen for me because, you know, I'm such a loser or whatever it is, right? I mean, so we set this thing up, this habit energy cycle, this perceptual loop. Then we point outside of ourselves and go, see, there it is again. See, I am a loser. See, that guy just, you know, he just snubbed me. They never call me when they go out to eat. Or, you know, so we believe these things. We set this up. And this collection of beliefs about ourselves and the world that we live in, that's the perceptual loop that we live in. And this is saying it's time to step out of that loop and see with new eyes. And you can only but do that by your choice to see differently. And once you give up those thoughts, once you give up the idea, I'm right about who I think I am, I'm right about the world that I live in, once you give those thoughts up, new thoughts will be given to you, and the new world, the real world, will be revealed to you.
Thank you. And, you know, I've seen the movies, and I've heard it said, and I always questioned it, and I didn't know if it was true or not. But I've heard it said that people don't change. And from what I understand now is that the truth is that people don't change, because if you think yourself a person, you're going to be stuck in the personal patterns. There's personal patterns that we develop. The only thing that can really change is when you just choose to see yourself as you are, not this person, not this finite capacity to exist for a couple generations on this planet. So as Jacqueline was saying, it's taking stock, really, and saying, okay, I see that this is cyclical. This is a loop. This is going around and around. Stop. You know, my condemnation has to stop. I cannot identify myself with my thoughts or my actions any longer. I say that is not, you know, what I think, it's not me. What I do, that's not me. So that's really how I can put some distance between the condemnation and what I am, is to realize that it really is not me. It is the system. It's the system of people, a race of people it's just a thought system that goes around and around and around, and you can see it playing through this election cycle. It's going around, and so to be able to, it takes tremendous commitment and devotion to step out of it. Okay. 38 through 42. The truth is not something that can be seen, except if one chooses to see it. When one chooses to see what is, he shall. And its sight shall be glorious to him, for it is the sight of life and the overcoming of death. The thoughts you think are your evil doing, and so you may choose to let go of them. Let me tell you that it may not be that easy. Tell me something I don't know. For the belief that spawns the thoughts is like a deep root within you. And where you cut off its leaves, more will rise up to take their place. Be prepared to let go of many leaves, but know they will come back until the day you have rid yourself of their root. that's to me, that's just that. It's the fundamentals of the I thought are on a par with the fundamentals of the truth in the experience, in this present experience. It's born of God, you know. So it's got that power. All is God. So it's got that power behind it. So I know I stress this a lot because it's something that I'm currently working through and have been for some time. But the I thought is just the immense power of the I thought to me is just, it's uncanny. It's unbelievable at times. I look at it and I just can't believe it. I can't believe that I identify with this, that I would choose to be unhappy like this. It's just bewildering. So that's why I speak on that.
And I think that goes right to that idea that is the root. The I thought is the very root, right? You cut the I thought out, and it's all,
right.
And you no longer experience the blocks to love's awareness, the obstacles to truth. The I thought is the last root, and ultimately the root of it all. I noticed that Larry has recharacterized that perceptual loop. He wrote from A Course in Miracles this quote: "If he speaks not of Christ to you, you spoke not of Christ to him. You hear but your own voice, and if Christ speaks through you, you will hear him." Yeah. So that's the same idea that you have the power of choice is your own.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Larry. Where are we at, honey?
We are at 46 through 50.
All right. The belief in separateness and differences is the root you must let go. For if there is more than one will, the truth is not true, and death is all there is. Is this the final resting place of your faith? Or are you willing to put your faith in life and love and one? If you will put your faith in me, I will lead you to the end of your route. There shall you find the truth, and your truth will be you. There's a simplicity there. There is a simplicity in all the spiritual teachings. You know, it says, there shall, at the end it says, there shall you find the truth, and your truth will be you. It's that simple, you know, and for some reason, even that, when I see that simplicity, it's like, trying to grasp it is, it just seemed, you know, to get that is just an amazing coup to be able to grasp that and it's not trying to grasp, it's just truth becoming my, you know, becoming itself or realizing itself but it's always, you know, there's always that simplicity in the true teachings.
That's interesting. I was reading Locke Kelly's book, Shift into Freedom, and he was quoting St. Francis of Assisi, who said the same thing. You are that which you seek.
Yeah. Right. Very simple.
Yeah.
Hard to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does say here that exactly is the root. The root is the belief in separateness and differences. The equivalent of the personal self.
Right. Okay, we're going to move on to Matthew chapter 13.
Yeah, and this
I'm going to let you.
Okay.
Read.
What? Oh, you want me to read?
The Bible. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well. And this is where we have this little icon here in NTI, and it suggests that it would be helpful for us to read from the Bible here. So we're at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. So let me read to you from the New International Version, Matthew 13, 1 through 9, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
All right. I appreciate Jacqueline's help there. I don't really know my way around a computer nearly as well as she does. So, okay, so we'll start with NTI Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Your choice is the key to this scripture. All that you do by your choice. To deny this is to deny the essence of who you are.
I want to interrupt real quick, because sure. That says exactly what you were saying a minute ago. You know, the I thought springs from God. It shows, it's really so convincing,
right.
Because it's born of the power of
right.
all that is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. So, thank you.
Yeah, all that you do is by your choice. To deny this is to deny the essence of who you are.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. And yet many deny themselves and believe they are victims of their own distractions. I say to you, listen to me. No one can keep you from yourself but yourself. Lay yourself aside that you may come home to me. And right there, there really is the implication of responsibility, taking responsibility for what is going on. Because the only way through this is that choice, is that one choice. There's, what am I? Am I one, or am I one amongst billions? And so that choice is a choice that it's got to, you know, for me, I can see that it takes complete vigilance to that. It's not a choice that to me that seems to be able to be made in one sitting, because there believing in time creates a condition of conditioning, that where I'm now conditioned, and so it just goes back to that conditioning, goes back to that conditioning. So that choice has to be made in every moment. Verse 10. My words are clear to those who choose to understand them. For when you lay yourself aside and ask to receive understanding, it is given you. But understanding can only be given if you choose to lay yourself aside. For if you do not make this choice, it is because you believe you know, and so you cannot be taught.
Yeah, but long before I came to the spiritual path, my favorite sayings was that very thing. You can't teach somebody who thinks they already know. I mean, it's a closed mind. And if you think you're right about who you think you are and what you think this world is, if you think you're right, you won't be convinced otherwise. Even if you say you want to experience something different, you've got to give up the idea that you know who you are, that you're right about who you are and how things work, that you're right about anything. What does A Course in Miracles say? A Course in Miracles says give up, every belief or every value that you've ever had? You know, you don't know what anything is for. You don't know what's in your own best interest, right? I mean, all of those early course lessons, or all the course lessons altogether, but really all the early course lessons are about exactly this. Give up your thoughts. Your thoughts are wrong. Your thoughts are what got you in this mess in the first place. And that collection of thoughts, by the way, makes up the self that you think you are, when in fact that self doesn't exist.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, I'm looking at the sentence. It says, for when you lay yourself aside and ask to receive understanding, it is given you. And there, and just in that sentence, and ask to receive understanding, okay, I'm going to receive understanding. I'm going to do what that says. Now, let me think of what okay, to receive understanding, I should just, it's saying, okay, do this, you know, and it's really just saying, you know, lay yourself aside. There is no need for thought here. Thought is a very unnecessary burden that just makes it a much longer and arduous journey.
Night, Sonia.
Oh, good night, Sonia. And okay, I'm going to start where I left off there. Okay. But understanding can only be given if you choose to lay yourself aside. For if you do not make this choice, it is because you believe you know, and so you cannot be taught. I actually read that already.
Yes, you did. Fine.
Be thankful that my words are clear to you. For you have asked, and it is given. This is a symbol of your Father's love on earth. Freely he extends himself to you. Blessed are you who have chosen to receive. Not everyone you meet will be ready to make the choice that you have made. Many will not, but you must love them. For love is the good soil you have chosen, and not to love is not to have made the choice. So not to love is just to see them as if they're ignorant, as if they're in the dark. Because you see, if you see yourself as that, that's not love. If you see yourself as in the dark or ignorant, that's not being loving to yourself. So let me continue here. Love your brothers. Give them as they ask, and do not judge. Think no evil thoughts about them. Do not worry about their choices. It is your choice you must guard. Make sure that you choose the good soil and that you do not let yourself slip onto the path between the rocks or among the thorns. Again, I've mentioned once before that worrying about somebody else's choices is akin to there's so much projection that goes on in the world, and on the spiritual path. When I undertook the spiritual path, I did so much projecting of healing. I projected healing onto so many other people. I wanted to project what I was learning onto other people, that they need this. They need to hear this. This is what they need. And I was not applying it. I wanted to be a reflector, just something that skims off of me and bounces to where it's really needed. I was not receiving it. I was really just deflecting it. And, to love my brothers is to just really accept the truth for myself and not give them something that I think that they need, because that's just arrogance. The choice you make will seem to be made many times in complete sincerity and truth of heart. And then you will seem to slip and forget the choice you have made. Do not let this distress you. Simply make the choice again. That is a huge paragraph right there. That little paragraph should be tattooed on my forehead. Because that is really important, because, again, the hallmark to me of the ego system or the I thought system is self-condemnation. That's what's going on there. So trying to do this spiritual path correctly, I have undergone tremendous condemnation, self-condemnation, because I have not followed through the way I think I should have. And so it's really that infinite patience. And I love that. I remember that from the Course in Miracles, infinite patience. And it just really spoke to me, that particular application. In any moment when you notice that evil thoughts and thoughts of separateness have crept into your mind, give them up in that moment. That is the only moment you can give them up in.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know, there, you can't give them up prior to that. So it just always calls you right into the present. It is moment to moment in which the harvest occurs. And so it is in the moment that you remember that you must also make the choice.
I just think that's really insightful what you just said. You can't give it up prior. Yeah. So all it can ever be is an opportunity to see what it is that you believe. I mean, you hear this coming out of your mouth, or you see the choices being made. I mean, it's just, we read somewhere last week, sometime, it's a roadmap. Mm. This is what I believe. This is showing me what I believe. If I'm right. Disapproving of what, you know, Joe Smith's doing over there, it's just showing me what I believe.
Right.
You know, I believe that there's a pattern. I believe that there's the way things work. I believe that he's breaking that pattern. You know, it's all crap.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just a real opportunity to look and see what I believe. And it can't be undone until I see it.
Exactly. Right. And look at it. Right. And that's another great point, is just to see it, just to look at it. That's it. If you try to do more, you've done too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you've tried to make it real and then fix it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So we're going to look at the next. What am I supposed to look at in the Bible? It's 11:11, y'all. Let's see. Yes. And Larry's written, healing is the result of the recognition by God's teacher of who it is that is in need of healing. Yeah, from the Manual for Teachers. And then, you can only heal yourself, for only God's son needs healing, right? I mean, how many how many sons, right? One. That you start with the local consciousness of which you're aware, which is your own. So we're supposed to be looking at the Bible again. We got one of those little icons, so let's look at that. Matthew 13, 31 and 32, the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. Oops, I'm going too far. I won't go that far. We'll look at that part in a minute. Let's read 31 and 32.
Okay. Do not worry that you do not tend to your choice enough. For if you tend to your choice every time you remember, that is enough. For in the tending of your choice, the tending itself will extend until you are tending to your choice in every moment as you desire. For the tending is the mustard seed. Ask me to rain upon your seed and tend whenever you remember. I will lead you to remember more. I'll just say that's a blessed paragraph. So gentle, so tender, so embracing, so forgiving. It makes me emotional to speak truly. It's just so willing to embrace and carry me, carry you, carry this this burden. And we can only do what we can do. I like when I see something that says there's an appointed time for everybody. And I don't know where that fits in truth and in terms of the physics of everything and whatnot and things like that. But, I really feel like that's true. I feel like that this journey goes on. And it's not under the control of the I thought. It's not under the control. Thank God it's not. There's something that is. It's just occurring, and it's organic, and it's unfolding, and so to think that I should be more responsive to my spiritual practice or whatever like that. Again, that's being condemning myself, so this paragraph was just really beautiful to me.
Yeah, I think I really like how you say it's organic. I think that's a beautiful way to describe it, because at some point this really, this whole journey really takes on a life of its own.
Right.
And I think that when A Course in Miracles talks about a little willingness, this is what it's talking about, because you bring the mustard seed.
Right. That's right.
Right. And that's it. That's when you turn towards the truth. And then the truth reveals itself to you at its own pace. Grace reveals the truth to you at its own pace. It's also, I think, the source of the saying, you know, you can't ever go back once you start this path, because the path takes on a life of its own. You can't I don't remember who said it, but the mind expanded to the proportions of a greater idea can never return to its original size. This is not true with just the mind. This is true with the heart. So there's no turning back, but it's not, you know, it's not a, I get a picture of like a mountain climber, right? With the, you know, with the pickaxe and the, you know, trying to go. It's not that.
Right.
It's a very gentle, it can be that.
Yeah.
But it can also be this very gentle, and, or I think organic was a great word.
Yeah.
It just kind of unfolds in front of you, and then there's the next step, and then there's the next thing, and then there's the next thing. And then there may be a lull for a while, and then there's the next thing, and the next thing. And it's not like, like you said, I'm not driving this thing. Mm. I'm not in the driver's seat, because I can't be in the driver's seat because I don't know where I'm going.
Right. she's right. She doesn't. none of us do, but that was great. Thank you for sharing that. I had something I was going to add there, but I started laughing. Yeah, but that mustard seed, we brought the seed, and it's really harvested. Okay, so we're back in the
Bible here.
In the Bible.
It says, here, you sit down, honey.
Okay.
It's fine. I'll just move this over here. It says... this is Matthew 13:33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. That's it.
Okay. It is through your choice, but not through your effort, that the kingdom of heaven is given.
Amen.
Right. For the kingdom of heaven must be a gift given by the Father to you. Choose to be ready to receive the gift. In this way, it is like yeast. The yeast represents the choice, but the rising of the dough is the gift born of that choice.
Wow. I mean, that really drives that drives that point home we were just making.
Yeah, yeah. You know, to choose to be ready to be, because it's like Jesus says it, like a thief in the night. That's how this comes. Yeah. This will come. Awakeness will come like a thief in the night. And if you're not ready, you will defend against him. You will chase him away if you're not ready for it. If you are not prepared, you'll be scared of it. You'll be frightened. When this gift is ready to be given, I pray for the courage to receive this gift, to be ready to receive this gift when it is presented.
Yeah. Well, and I see this as really talking about that same thing we said before. You know. Your little willingness is the mustard seed or the choice to apply the yeast to the dough, and it's just that choice that initial choice that sets the whole thing in motion. You know, I don't like it's not because you know I do anything else that this seed grows. And I just thought you did a wonderful job when you called it organic. It's really organic. It's what happens when you plant a mustard seed. It's what happens when you put yeast in the dough. Now, granted, they've still got you watering the mustard seed and kneading the dough, but it's not, but it's a, it's, it's a force that's set in motion and grows from the inside out.
Right. You become so much less and less identified with that actor, you know.
With the doer.
Right, with the doer, yeah. What I tell you now is the truth of your salvation. It is only through this truth that you shall be saved. The Son of God is an extension of his Father, but this he has forgotten. That he has forgotten does not change what is true. When you see yourself in this forgotten state, and you believe that you are guilty, and you live in a fearful world, it is then that you suffer. And yet you believe these thoughts. And in believing these thoughts, you suffer. And in believing these thoughts, you believe the evidence of these thoughts, and you suffer more.
That's that perceptual loop, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've experienced often as my resistance to my resistance, right? I'm resisting, so I'm like, why am I resisting that? You know, and I get it's a loop. It's another loop, and it's just it's like a hologram or fractals. You know, it's like it just goes. It'll go on. It just creates pattern. It's a pattern upon a pattern upon a pattern. And that's what the formative world is. It's just a pattern signature. It's just patterns all over the place.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking that you think I am bad because I have the I am bad thought. Ooh, that's proof. I really am bad.
Right.
So you just keep digging that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what this is saying. You see yourself in this forgotten state. Oh, I'm this poor, helpless, you know, separate person. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The effect we were talking about a while ago. And then you feel guilty for that. And try and run and hide. You live in this guilty, dark world. And you suffer because you believe these thoughts. But this says right here, it is in believing these thoughts that you suffer. It's your choice to believe them. It's also your choice to let them go.
To stand up and look at everything that you believe, yeah. As it happens.
Yeah.
Right. When you see yourself in this forgotten state, did I read that already?
Yes.
Oh, excuse me. All right. This is why I am here. I am here to bring clarity to replace confusion, love to replace fear. But you must know that your thoughts are born of fear, and fear is the way of this world. To know my gift, you must put down your thoughts of fear and turn away from its evidence. Through your consistent choice, I will give you my gift. For I cannot give against your choice, so I cannot give the gift of love if it is fear that you choose. Listen to me now.
There it is. There's the watering of the mustard seed. There's the kneading of the dough, right? It's that consistent choice. Remember now, and now, and now, and every time you remember. And it said that here. If you remember, where was that? Back here. There it is. In any moment, this is, I'm back up on 28, verses 24 to 30, page 28. In any moment, when you notice that evil thoughts and thoughts of separateness have crept into your mind, give them up in that moment. It is moment to moment in which the harvest occurs. And so it is in the moment that you remember that you must also make the choice. And then, of course, like you just told us back over here on page 29, through your consistent choice, I will give you my gift. For I cannot give against your choice. So I cannot give the gift of love if it is fear that you choose. It's that moment to moment choice. Of course, the miracles talks about not making any exceptions. And, you know, and that's what it is. And, you know, we've all heard the little anecdote, you know, so the guy's sitting on a meditation pillow and right, meditating. And then he gets up and screams at everybody in the room, right, for making noise while he was trying to meditate. And it's fine. But that's the choice that you're making. That's the world that you're choosing to live in. Every time you remember, you must make this choice again and again and again. And like I said, that's the anecdote, not the anecdote, the whatever it is, of the mustard seed, watering the mustard seed, kneading the dough.
Yeah. you must know that your thoughts are born of fear, and fear is the way of this world. To know my gift, you must put down your thoughts of fear and turn away from its evidence. Well, what is the evidence of fear? The evidence of fear, most of the time it's other thoughts. The evidence of fear are again, it's part of the loop, you know. I know for me, fear is a visceral feeling. It's we talk about it of expansion or constriction, and I can feel constriction. So, and a lot of time, what that constriction feels like, it's like protecting something. I'm protecting something in the heart. There's something that's so delicate, so fragile, so frail that I need to protect it, that I need to keep it from being offended, from being abused, from being mishandled or insulted. That's part of the loop. That's the feeling part. I'm protecting this fragile I thought, this one who's on his own, out here alone in the world, it's just watching myself protect this non-existent entity, but it doesn't feel like it's non-existent.
It feels like it's all you got.
If
I don't protect it, who will?
Right.
This poor, fragile, put-upon thing that other people want to steal from and attack and kill. I mean, that's the way it feels.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting because it's interesting to watch the I thought, because now I like when I'm watching, like I said, I was watching a baseball game last night, when I was watching a little bit of a game tonight, and I just watched the I thought in everybody, and it's identical, practically. It's almost identical. It's just this, it's just the same motions. You know, this whole city is, they're identified with this one team, and it's just really interesting to watch the I thought and the system manifest, and really that's all I'm trying to do is just watch it. And is there any happiness here? If my team wins, is there any joy? Is there anything lasting in that? Is there anything lasting in an orgasm? All these things that seem so sacred and seem, is there anything lasting in a human relationship? There is, it needs to be, you know, all this needs introspection at the deepest level, and because it's very deceptive. If we don't go there, then we are choosing to be deceived. And I see it just turned to 11:30, so I'm going to leave it on that happy note.
Well, I hope there's something lasting in a human relationship. If so, we'll both be back together again next week. We love you guys. We appreciate the opportunity to be on this journey with you. We sure are having fun growing with NTI. We hope you are as well. See you next week.
Thanks again, everybody. Love you all. Bye.